Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and today our topic is circadian rhythms, which was a topic that was suggested to me, but I find kind of interesting because I'm a woman, if you didn't know, and when I was younger, I heard a lot about, you know, as women get older, if they haven't had kids, they can hear their biological clock ticking, and I knew that circadian rhythms had something to do with biological clocks. So when I was a child, I thought that a circadian rhythm was like something you went to your OBGYN for. That's not the case. Both men and women have circadian rhythms. In fact, lots of different things have circadian rhythms. Plants, animals, fungi, and cyanobacteria all have circadian rhythms. And a circadian rhythm is a biological process that displays an endogenous, entrainable oscillation of about 24 hours. So what that means, essentially, is you have a cycle within you, which is why you often hear the word biological clock or body clock, is even irregardless of outside factors like light, your body clock sort of follows a certain pattern, which usually for humans is around 24 hours. So circadian comes from the Latin circa, meaning around or approximately, and diem, meaning day. So again, around approximately a day. And science has found, even without outside stimulus, that humans' circadian rhythms do average, I think it was like 24 hours and 11 minutes or something like that. It's very, very close, essentially, to a day. So although circadian rhythms are endogenous or, you know, built in and self-sustained, they're entrained or adjusted to the local environment by external cues called Zeitgebers. I want to call it Zeitgebers, and I probably will just for this podcast, but that might not be correct. Zeitgeber, which is from the German for time giver. And these Zeitgebers include things like light, temperature, and redox cycles. So you do fall generally around 24 hours, but you can also be affected by outside things. This is why, you know, there's things like jet lag, where your body's used to being on one cycle, but then you very quickly change times and you're not used to it at first, but you do adjust to that because, you know, even though your body wants to say it's 4 a.m., if it's like, you know, 11 a.m. and sunshiny, eventually you will get used to that with the light. So to be called circadian, a biological rhythm must meet three general criteria. It has to have an endogenous free-running period that lasts approximately 24 hours. It has to be able to be reset by exposure to external stimuli, such as light and heat, which is the entrainment. And it maintains circadian periodicity over a range of physiological temperatures. So the classic phase markers for measuring circadian rhythm are melatonin secretion, core body temperature, and the plasma level of cortisol. And I just randomly learned today that I think you can like raise your cortisol level just by brushing your teeth. So maybe that's why we do it at beginning and ends of days. I'm not sure. But anyways, circadian rhythms can influence sleep-wake cycles hormone release, eating habits and digestion, body temperature and other bodily functions, and irregular rhythms have been linked to various chronic health conditions such as sleep disorders, obesity, diabetes, depression, bipolar disorder, and seasonal affective disorder. And when this topic was first suggested to me, my immediate thought about it was, I don't remember the product name, but there was a commercial about a man, I think he's walking through an airport or something with a service dog, and he's blind. And because he's blind, his body, you know, he's not getting the light in through his eyes to sort of tell his brain, hey, it's daylight. So his body kind of falls off the rhythm. And so this medication is to sort of help your body get back onto the regular circadian rhythm that, you know, most other people are on. But this means because your body can fall off rhythm and it's linked to all these things, that people who do things like shift work or the nighttime shift, they have an increased metabolic risk for cardiometabolic syndrome, hypertension, and inflammation. So, A, I just kind of thought that people who had like the overnight shift kind of just had a bad job anyways. I can't think of any job I've ever heard that has a midnight shift that I'd actually want to do. But then you have the sort of stereotype, and I'm not saying this is shift workers at all, but this is somehow the stereotype that keeps coming up of the, you know, not exactly in the fittest shape of their life security guard somewhere who, you know, eats burgers and soda or whatever every night, and that's probably why they're not in the fittest shape. It is known that workers who work all night are actually more likely to have cancer and Alzheimer's, which is really extreme, actually. Well, not extreme, I shouldn't say that, but unexpected. Because when you get the things like sleep disorders, well, obviously your rhythm's going off and you're, you know, awake when your body kind of wants to be asleep, so that makes perfect sense. And then the obesity, diabetes, that also makes sense. Although, again, part of that is from that stereotype of you're just not eating healthy because, you know, most things aren't open at night. And possibly you're, you know, drinking a lot of soda or coffee to keep yourself awake. Okay, fine. I get that. And then depression, bipolar disorder, seasonal affective disorder. Also totally get that because especially the seasonal affective disorder, I know, affects people who live in more northern latitudes. I know a lot of people in Alaska can get it because you have that, you know, months and months without really sunlight, and then months with sunlight, even though it's like 11 at night, and that would be so strange to me. I can't even imagine. So I can get why having an irregular circadian rhythm would bring all of that. But then cancer and Alzheimer's is very interesting. I can kind of get cancer if you look at cancer, you know, as they suggest, might be partly caused by inflammation. Okay, fine, because you have that going on when your rhythm's not, I wanted to say on track, but that's not quite correct. But then Alzheimer's, which is just, I feel that word's coming up a lot, and maybe it's just the topics I've been talking about on this podcast keep referring to Alzheimer's, but it's just like, Alzheimer's, you can get Alzheimer's from like the weirdest stuff you would not expect, like a head injury. Okay, fine, but then you're having working at night can give you Alzheimer's. Oh man, can you tell Alzheimer's is something that just kind of doesn't freak me out, but a main health concern, I guess, of mine. So the interesting thing is you won't actually feel the ups and downs, the dips and rises of your circadian rhythm if you've actually been sleeping well, if you are all caught up on sleep. When you're lacking in sleep, that's when you actually notice the bigger swings of sleepiness and alertness. Because you do have that, even if you're just perfectly healthy, completely caught up on sleep, your circadian rhythm is not off track, you will still have dips and valleys and mountains of awakeness and sleepiness during the day, because that is how your body functions. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking a little bit more about that. Stay tuned.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. Today we are talking about circadian rhythms. And it is known that, sort of in the same way that shift work can mess up your circadian rhythms, that is partly because different parts of your body are functioning at a higher rate at different times, almost as if your different organs were clocking in and out at different times. So this can affect even when you should eat for some people. The daily timing of food intake has been shown to affect body weight regulation in mammals through the regulation of genes that control metabolism. So, for example, at night, your liver kind of just, I won't say shuts down, slows down, is not working as much as during the day. It stops producing enzymes to convert calories to energy and instead produces enzymes to store energy. So if you eat right before, this is why you're not supposed to eat right before you go to bed, you're not really digesting that for energy. You're more digesting it to store it in your body as fat. So that's one of those reasons why eating shortly before bed is not a good idea. But assuming, and part of the problem with the modern day lifestyle is electric lights indoors can throw people off because your body's used to, you know, as human beings, as a species, was used to light being solely just from the sun, daylight, and then night. Okay, I know how to work with that. But then you get to night, but you can still be in really brightly lit rooms, and that can throw your circadian rhythm off. So assuming, this is a big assumption, a 6 p.m. sunset and a 6 a.m. sunrise, and you're not, you know, staying up way beyond those times with artificial light, these are the things that are happening with your body. So melatonin secretion typically starts around 9 p.m. and stops around 7:30 a.m. Therefore, that's why melatonin helps you sleep. There is a sharp rise in blood pressure around 6:45 a.m. and your highest blood pressure is around 6:30 p.m. You also have your highest alertness around 10 a.m. Your best coordination around 2:30 p.m., your fastest reaction time around 3:30 p.m., the greatest cardiovascular efficiency and muscle strength around 5 p.m., the highest body temperature around 7 p.m., and the lowest body temperature around 4:30 a.m., and then your deepest sleep around 2 a.m. Now, again, this is all assuming that your rhythm has not been thrown off by the various things we have in our modern day lives. But this does explain some things. Other things, when I first saw this, I was like, I don't know that my like highest alertness is at 10 a.m. and my best coordination is at like 2:30 p.m. because around that time, I'm probably like wanting a nap. And I don't really feel like super alert until about like 11 once caffeine's actually managed to kick in. But I am also, you know, not going to bed at either 9 p.m. or 6 p.m. So clearly, I'm not following the natural, quote-unquote, rules. But this also does, research has shown, can create a pattern for certain things. So it has been found that heart attacks are often more likely to occur in the morning. And if you remember, that is when you have the sharp rise in blood pressure around 6:45 a.m., which does that make sense? I mean, if you're waking up about then, you go from a lying, not really doing anything position to let's get up and go about the day. Of course, your blood pressure kind of spikes. and then that can possibly cause a heart attack. So, okay, that makes sense. Epileptic seizures often occur in the late afternoon, which is, I don't quite know about that one, but that has been found to also be something tied to time. And asthma attacks get worse and more deadly between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. I'm not sure if that's tied to a specific hormone, but that, like the epileptic seizures, is something that researchers have found a pattern in. But this is not just a modern medicine sort of thought process, that Chinese medicine also had a 24-hour circadian clock, but it actually associates certain times with certain parts of the body as well as certain elements. So on a previous episode, I talked about, amongst other things, reflexology and the idea that by pressing on certain parts of your foot, you can, you know, make your liver function better, or your spleen, or your eyes, or your heart, your brain, what have you, that Chinese medicine had a lot of ideas about things being interconnected, and you can't just treat one thing without thinking of the person as a whole. And so this holds true for circadian rhythms as well. So for 2 hours, each organ network is believed to have a maximum amount of flow and therefore shows the maximum activity. There are a total of 12, they call them meridians, belonging to every major organ. So we're going to go through those. So these are the times sort of associated with the different organs. From 1 to 3 a.m. is your liver, and this involves detoxification, muscles, and eyes. From 3 to 5 a.m. is your lungs, but also involves skin. From 5 to 7 a.m. is your colon or your large intestine. Those are actually the same thing, but I did not know that, which involves assimilation, elimination, and also your skin. From 7 to 9 a.m. is your stomach, which involves lymph and food digestion. From 9 to 11 a.m. is your spleen, pancreas, which also involves lymph and food digestion. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is your heart, which involves artery blood circulation. From 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. is the small intestine, which involves digestion, assimilation, and arteries. From 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. is the bladder, which involves bones, teeth, elimination, and cleaning. Not quite sure how the bladder is connected to those, but somehow it is. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. is your kidneys, which involves bones, teeth, ears, filtration, and elimination. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. is the pericardium, or the cardiac layer, which involves constriction of blood vessels. From 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. is the duodenum, or triple burner. And this one, I had to look up because I had never heard of. And it's not something, we don't quite have the term in Western medicine, because in Western medicine, this is actually considered to be three different things. And we don't generally look at the something nervous system in the same way Chinese medicine does. So this would not be considered an organ for us, but is for them. But this involves thermoregulation. And then from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. is the gallbladder. And this involves digestion, muscle, and eyes. So as I mentioned, these all are also associated with an element, and not like the periodic table of elements, but like ancient elements of fire and earth and all that. So the lungs and the large intestine are associated with metal. The stomach and spleen are associated with earth. The heart, small intestine, pericardium, and triple burner, all four, are associated with fire. The bladder and kidney are associated with water. And the gallbladder and liver are associated with wood. Not quite sure how that works, because we've clearly not followed the idea of those elements being any sort of anything, but also any sort of defining thing in health in Western medicine. So that's just and I've heard of those elements, although not so much the metal one. I've heard of earth, air, fire, and water, and interestingly, they don't really have an air there. They've got metal and wood. So clearly there's evidently more than one version of these elements that are not the, you know, now we have periodic chemical elements. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. So if you're not fully, I keep saying on track, I apologize, on track with your circadian rhythm, we're now going to talk about some tips that could help you improve your circadian rhythm, I guess. So the first tip, and this one feels almost like a, well, duh, just because you've probably heard some version of this multiple times if you ever talk, you know, about not being able to sleep or sleep all the way through. This is to block out light at night. So it actually turns out that merely 5 lux of light can disrupt your circadian rhythm. And to put that in perspective, bright light devices are 10,000 lux and bright sunlight is around 50,000 lux. So your circadian rhythm can be disrupted simply by 5 lux. And of course, I know many people have heard about the, you know, don't look at screens because of the blue light. And what is happening is the light is hitting a small part of your brain and saying, hey, it's daylight, let's wake up. So even with the small light, any light, really, it's very hard to not have any light that affects you. But blue light has been found to possibly have a stronger effect. So they make, of course, now those blue light blocker glasses, and they have the night mode on phones and all that. You should also, as we mentioned earlier, not eat for 4 hours before bed. But they actually say if you're hungry before bed or you wake up in the middle of the night because you're hungry, it means you didn't eat enough in your last meal or in the day in general. And so in the same way, rather than sleeping in, you should, you know, go to bed a little earlier over a week to spread it out, and that will improve your sleep debt. In the same way, just eat a bit more during the day rather than right before bed if you find yourself being hungry at night. You should get outside in the morning, ideally within 30 minutes of waking up, to go outside for like a walk or something to get that sunlight in and have it hit that part of your brain to say, yes, it's now daylight, we all need to be awake. But also to get as much sunlight as possible during the day. You should go to bed and wake up at the same time. And they suggest going to bed early, but that one feels really not possible for most people just because life and when you get off work and then traveling home and then eating. And then if you actually want to do something, going to bed early is just not working with that plan. Reduce psychological stress, which again, easier said than done. Don't exercise shortly before bed either, and they suggest like not exercising for a few hours before bed. And to eat most of your calories in the morning and afternoon. So this, when we did our 100th episode, this came up in the proverb of eat like a king, lunch like a prince, dinner like a pauper. This idea of putting the majority of the food you're eating towards the front part of the day. You want the vast majority of calories, and especially protein, in the morning and afternoon because protein jumpstarts your metabolic rate, and this is better when it's closer to the time you actually wake up. But interestingly, for all those nightlife people, music and socializing are zeitgebers. So that could be telling your body, hey, it's actually daytime because, you know, this is getting you up. So you might want to actually keep those to earlier parts of the day if you're finding it hard to sleep at night. But regarding the Chinese medicine system, they also have an idea of certain things you should do at certain times. Again, based off of those, certain organs have the high flow of qi at those times. So from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. should be deep resting and dream. From 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., sleep soundly, I guess without dreaming. And that's the whole thing about, you know, REM and all that that we haven't gone into yet. We'll probably go into that on a future episode. From 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., wake up and drink water. Go for a brisk walk. But interestingly, no caffeine at this hour, they suggest, and that you should meditate. And I do know some people do meditate first thing in the morning. I'm not quite sure how they do that because my first thought is I would just like fall asleep. If you want me, I just got out of bed and you want me to sit with my eyes closed for a while? Are you kidding? But some people do manage to do it, and I just am not the best at meditating, period. So that's not helping. From 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., eat breakfast, and this should be made up of things like fruit, protein, low GI carbs, healthy fats. Take your vitamins, pack your lunch and snacks. From 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., work and be active. I love that they put that, like, work and be active could A, both happen, and B, are totally up to you. Sure. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., eat lunch and socialize, because again, socializing is a zeitgeber. You should, Chinese medicine, so some things are a bit different culturally. They suggest reaching out to people, being of service, but then also eating a nutritious, balanced lunch that is not too filling. From 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., solve your problems and get organized. Sort out issues. I guess that might be the time you're supposedly supposed to be, like, best able to get things done. So again, that's the time where I'm like, I kind of want to take a nap, and I do not understand why you think I should A, be getting things done, or B, having, like, the best alertness and coordination. Just what are you talking about? But they also do actually suggest take a short nap, which just seems to not agree with that first suggestion you gave me for the same time. So get things done and then take a nap, maybe? I don't know. A reward to yourself for getting whatever done? Sure. From 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., work, study, and drink tea. This is the best time, evidently, for efficient work. But they also suggest drinking, along with tea, more water and detoxing. Again, their thoughts of what I can be doing at certain times of the day, not quite what my modern life is saying is also the case. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., exercise. This again goes with the Western idea that you have, you know, the greatest muscle efficiency at this time, but then you should eat a light dinner and restore your energy. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., they actually do suggest socializing, also flirting and having fun. And this is evidently the best time to conceive, have sex, or get a massage. For some people, those all go together. They don't necessarily for me, but okay. And then from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., chill out, relax, and read, and avoid eating. Although I did see two different versions of this where one of them had the recommendations for 7 p.m., 9 p.m., and 9 p.m., 11 p.m. switched. So I guess try it out both ways and see which one helps you. And then from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., sleep and regenerate. So you can see there is a bit of overlap between the Chinese medicine system and the more Western idea of their circadian rhythm. And there's still this idea that your body is naturally more, I don't want to say efficient, but certain organs are working more at certain times. And if you keep that in mind, you might find it easier to get through your day without, you know, struggling when your body really wants to be asleep, or trying to sleep when your body really wants to be awake, etc. I do hope that all of those who have shift work or overnight work, if that's not something you really want to be doing, that you can find a new position soon that does allow you to work along with your body's natural circadian rhythm, unless that's something you really like, in which case, keep at it. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.